Do you split the G or play the Guinness game? What happens if you only drink whiskey for 24 hours? We're about to find out on a very special St. Patrick's Day episode of This Paranormal Life! Welcome everyone to a very special St. Patrick's Day episode of This Paranormal Life, hosted by your two favorite Irish podcasters, Rory and Kit. Before we begin, Kit, Kajay Maratatu.
Tommy Gomoil, Rory. Deep diving into our GCSE Irish there. Your two favourite Irish paranormal investigators that kind of came out as Irish whenever they launched an Irish podcast awards. to which we cleaned up this year, so it was absolutely worth it, and that's why we kept the jig going. I'm doing great, Roy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, St. Patrick's Day is one of my favorite times of the year for many reasons, because, yes, I am Irish, despite my accent. You wouldn't believe it. You know, lived there for over 20 years. But the only people that love St. Patrick's Day more than the Irish are the Americans.
Oh, yeah.
The other half of my family and my origin. So with that combined, I am sort of the ultimate monster created for St.
Right.
Patrick's Day.
But as if your Irish side wasn't toxic enough, you have an Irish-American side. It's almost like when you drink a hammerhead or a red-eye coffee, you know, where you pour the couple espressos into a glass and then you top it up with filter coffee.
Yeah,
just to go
yeah.
really psycho. We took your Irishness and we topped it up with toxic Irishness.
It's very true. I mean, do you enjoy St. Patrick's Day as much as the other locals do?
I do really like St. Patrick's Day. I gotta be totally honest. Whenever we grew up, we celebrated it a lot. I then mm-hmm. moved to Belfast, where I went to university and made new friends and stuff, and was, I'll be honest, shocked and appalled to find that at least the people I hung out with, I know St. Patrick's Day is big in Belfast, but the people I knew didn't go near it.
Really?
Yeah, so I went for years, and then I moved to London and the rest is history. I went for years without even celebrating it at all. I was lucky if I even got a single pint of the black.
Wow.
I think I mentioned one time I thought I would reclaim St. Patrick's Day for myself. When I happened to be in Sweden one year for St. Patrick's Day, I was like, oh, turns out Sweden's got a big Irish population in the centre. They've got a load of Irish pubs. Let me go down. Let me go celebrate with my friend.
Love this.
We're never going to feel more Irish than being in Sweden on St. Patrick's Day. Couldn't have been more wrong. They're all singing songs in Irish, which no one speaks. Didn't know a f***ing word. It was rammed. We basically just like left with our tail between our legs.
You walked into the bar, kicked open the front door and said, "Top of the morning to ya."
They beat the shite out of me.
They were like, "That's incredibly offensive. You're like, we don't talk like that here."
I mean, have you been able to celebrate while in London?
I have. Luckily, I have over the years been able to gather a group of friends together that I hold very dear, who both love St. Patrick's Day and drinking.
I was going to say, to be clear, who also aren't necessarily Irish.
Yeah, I think there was probably a few St. Patrick's Days where I was down at the pub and I was like, it's so great that we can celebrate. And a few of them went, it's St. Patrick's Day.
they're wearing like green all over, sinking 8 pints of Guinness. No idea.
But you're right, Kit. Look, we are two men raised on the north coast of Ireland. It's no surprise that we do love St. Patrick's Day. Growing up, some of my fondest and most intoxicated memories are from St. Patrick's Day. And I'm happy to say that we're keeping that tradition alive today in the studio. We have an entire bottle of aged 10 years Bushmills Irish whiskey. Woo. We've got a ton of Guinness here. And I'm very excited to say we're going to be diving into a very Irish, very St. Patrick's Day themed investigation today.
But Rory, St. Patrick's Day is only about getting shite-faced. What could we possibly be investigating here on This Paranormal Life?
I knew you were going to say that, Kit, because you, like most people, would think that St. Patrick's Day is just the time to celebrate Irish music, Irish culture, Tato crisps, and seeing how many pints of Guinness you can drink before you go blind. And of course, yes, let's not forget, it's to celebrate St. Patrick himself, who was the legendary Irish saint known for his most impressive feat, driving all of the snakes out of Ireland. But despite these celebrations all over the world, very few people know the truth about St. Patrick.
Oh no, is he about to get cancelled?
We all build these images of him in our head. But did you know? He never really talked about the Shamrock once.
Okay.
Did you know that St. Patrick's Day itself is actually commemorating his death?
I didn't.
And possibly the most disturbing fact of all, he was often famously seen in his favorite color, blue.
Oh my, all right, now you're just with us. You're trolling us.
It's time for us and the audience to discover the truth about St. Patrick, the saint behind the holiday. So please raise a glass of any liquid you enjoy indulging in on this St. Patrick's Day and join us as we dive into a bit of Irish history. Now, before we begin today's history lesson, it's important to note we're not historians. We're paranormal investigators. We're not here to talk about the facts and the dates. We're here to investigate the paranormal. And believe it or not, St. Patrick's life is full of it. In fact, stories told in ancient books that he wrote himself talk about mystical powers and magical battles against druids. So today, to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, we're diving into the paranormal history of Ireland's favorite saint. Now, to preface this episode, it's worth noting that scholars have been writing about St. Patrick for hundreds of years, trying to document his life while separating the myths and legends from the real events. Sort of like paranormal investigators themselves. And while they may write off any supernatural or mystical story, those are the stories that we're here to cover today. I do love the idea of these historians reading these ancient books where they're like, okay, he was born here, he moved here. Okay, there's a section here where he throws a fireball at another wizard. They just rip it out of the book and they're like going to throw it in the bin and we're like, well, take a look at that fireball section right there, Chief. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a bit rude, isn't it, to be reading, to someone writes a book about their life and all the things that happened.
Yeah.
And every time something sounds
a little too cool to be real.
Too cool. You're like, nonsense. That couldn't have possibly happened.
It's like when my autobiography inevitably gets published and it's like, oh yeah, you know, when I was 22, I had a supermodel girlfriend who won a bikini contest. And people are going to be like, no, he didn't. Rip that out. Keep it in. Because it was true is what I'm saying.
The problem is
could have been
your
true.
Example. Yeah, so you've already changed the story that it could have been true.
No, it was true.
In your example, I would rip that out because it is so obviously a lie. So it's actually a bad example because we're saying St. Patrick might have done those cool things.
I'm going to say in my autobiography that today you agreed with me.
Okay.
I actually am.
We're filming this. We're filming this from three angles. Rory, let's dive into today's case. And before that, Sláinte.
Sláinte. Cheers. We are going to dive into the paranormal history of St. Patrick right after a quick word from today's sponsors. And a reminder, you can get every episode of This Paranormal Life ad-free over on patreon.com/thisparanormallife. While researching the life of St. Patrick, a lot of it is luckily made easier by the fact that Patrick himself wrote essentially an autobiography, which has actually survived to the present day. And let me tell you, right off the bat, this guy was no ordinary Guinness-loving party animal. This may hurt to hear, but St. Patrick himself was actually born in Great Britain.
All right. Well, this is... Okay, off rip, this is an important piece of information.
It is.
To get out, as you say. We assume because he is the patron saint of Ireland, one would assume that he is from Ireland, but he's not.
When he was only 16 years old, he was captured by Irish raiders, stored on a ship, and brought to work in Ireland. When he arrived in Ireland, St. Patrick worked tirelessly as a slave, shepherding sheep for over 6 years, until one day he experienced his first paranormal activity. St. Patrick started hearing voices in his dreams. Escape the island. Escape the island. There's a boat by the docks. Go now, St. Patrick. I mean Patrick, not just Patrick.
Getting
for now.
Getting ahead of myself.
I that little bit up.
I can see the future. Actually, that's still giving away shit. That's maybe, may or may not be in your future.
So he took off, making his way down Ireland's east coast to find this mysterious ship that a voice had told him about. And to his surprise, he found it. But the captain, who was pagan, didn't like the look of Patrick and refused to let him board.
When was this?
I don't know.
You should.
A long time ago.
No, I think we do know when he lived, right? When was it, roughly?
I had to just Google St. Patrick. That's what you've done to me now. You happy?
It's not too much to ask.
I gotta scroll on this page.
I know on this podcast you often say time is irrelevant, but I mean, this is a very important historical figure. We need to know if this is the 1980s or not.
It just says at the age of 16.
Right, but I'm sure I Googled it. I'm sure I looked it up one day, and I'm sure it's just like the year 500 or something. It's like the 4th century or something.
He was born at the end of the Roman rule in Britain.
You're doing everything you can to not give me a date.
310? Maybe?
What do you mean, maybe? What do you mean?
He was born at the end of the Roman rule in Britain. Is that enough for you?
Absolutely not. I don't know when that was.
When was St. Patrick born?
What were you Googling before?
St. Patrick? Apparently, he was born in Scotland in the year 387. Is that enough for you?
I knew there must have been a date. So that's a long-ass time ago. We're the guts of 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this is, in the scheme of history, not long after JC himself.
Yeah, which is, I guess, is why everyone was so jazzed about him.
I'm asking because you mentioned that the person who owned the boat was a pagan. So they believed the old ways of Ireland, the Celtic ways, where they would have believed in probably many different gods and had lots of different interesting rituals and beliefs. But it sounds like Christianity was around too.
On its doorstep. Yeah, I think we're going to find out today that St. Patrick versus the pagans is kind of like a Jedi versus the Sith style battle that took place in Ireland. As I said, the captain, who was pagan, didn't like the look of St. Patrick and refused to let him board, which might have been a blessing in disguise, because in the actual writing of St. Patrick himself, he said the captain would only let him board if he, quote, sucked his breasts.
Whoa. Really?
Take the next ship.
Oh my God.
I know the angel said to take this one, but let it go, and we'll catch the next one.
St. Patrick instantly said no, and a voice in his head said, slow down there, Patrick. I know it might not sound pleasant, but honestly, I've checked and there's no other route. So.
Yeah, the voice knew the whole time this was going to happen.
So limber up that tongue buckle and suck on those teats.
Just one titty, St. Patrick.
Jesus, man, if that's the price of faith, they call me a f***ing pagan, brother, because I ain't sucking on no salty sea captain's teat. That is too high a price to pay for salvation.
Apparently, this is a ritual gesture symbolizing acceptance of the captain's authority.
No, it isn't.
I think apparently it was. I've never heard that before. That was the captain, I think, made that one up. St. Patrick refused, obviously. And luckily, the captain still took him on board.
Chancer. Complete chancer.
He's like, yeah, we'll let you on board if you suck on my nip-nips. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. All right, come on anyway.
Oh, my God. I would be like, I don't think I want to. Yeah, like,
come on anyway. No. Oh, come on, please. We need someone to do the big sail.
Because I feel like
Just touch my nips.
You think you're going to crack me.
Right,
or I'm going to fall asleep and wake up with a nipple in my mouth. This is not where I thought the story was going.
That part's not paranormal. It's just pretty f***ed up, so I wanted to include it.
I'm glad you did.
Now, after escaping to Britain, St. Patrick reportedly experienced a second revelation, claiming that an angel in a dream told him to return to Ireland to work as a missionary. So, around 15 years later, he returned and began his journey through Ireland. Now, St. Patrick's origin story may be a little strange and maybe different to what we all imagined, but it's safe to say that despite a few religious epiphanies, So far, there hasn't been a whole lot of paranormal or supernatural activity. However, I don't know what the f*** he did in those 15 years of training, but when he returned to Ireland, St. Patrick was a Dumbledore-level dark magician.
Really? See, that's even that part of the story, I didn't know. I mean, I as I said, I just imagined, had heard that he wasn't born in Ireland, but you assume once he got there that he stayed there, but you're saying he went, Luke Skywalker style, he went to the swamps of the Dagobah system to learn a little something.
Yeah, and then the voice told him to go back, bring Christianity to Ireland, and that's what he did. So without further ado, here are just some of the legends surrounding St. Patrick and his Irish adventures. In one legend, St. Patrick was wandering around Ireland when he bumped into a pagan chieftain named Crom and asked him for some food. The chieftain just laughed and set a bull loose, hoping it would go loco and kill St. Patrick.
Holy shit.
However, using his wizard powers, St. Patrick forced the bull to submit and allowed itself to be eaten.
What? He just cooked it up Benihana style?
He just,
on the spot?
Whatever spell he cast, this bull basically put an apple in its own mouth and lay down on a campfire.
Holy moly. So this is it. So this is wild. So this is back in a time when, you know, I guess we're... It's almost as if at this point in history, when, you know, when JC came along, Jesus Christ Superstar,
my boy,
hit the decks, you know, there was magic in the air and miracles were still possible, according to the believers, that Jesus performed these miracles, performed these amazing abilities. So it's almost like some of that magic was still in the air a couple hundred years later when St. Patrick came along, because he's, you know, we don't in the modern age consider... There are modern saints and we don't consider them to have supernatural abilities. But we're saying back then, his belief in the Lord gave him these abilities?
Gave him these powers. It's all very muddy. Some of these stories are from St. Patrick. Some of these stories are from storytellers who studied St. Patrick still in like the year 700.
You probably got to remember as well that like he's, as you say, kind of going up against these pagans and he's trying to introduce Christianity to... push out paganism. So the pagans, they did believe in probably a lot more supernatural or magical kind of thinking. And if they are writing any of this history, then that might have been the lens they viewed it through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should say, you know, in between all of this crazy shit, yes, he was converting people, baptizing people, but on the weekends,
okay,
St. Patrick was Gandalf roaming through the woods shooting lightning bolts from a staff.
Right, he was turning up hungover to the baptisms with blood on his knuckles. He was, the weekends were hot and heavy.
Yeah. Now, as I said, he forced this bull to submit and the bull allowed itself to be eaten. This chieftain, Crom, freaked out. He was furious that St. Patrick had killed his prize bull.
For sure.
So with a wave of his staff, St. Patrick brought the bull back to life.
All right. All right. Well, now we've got necromancy. So now I don't know if God even allows that. I think that might be a forbidden spell of Christianity.
Which is worrying because necromancy describes about half of the stories that we're going to be talking about today.
Oh, shit. Because you've probably read the Bible once more than me, which is zero times.
Okay, yeah.
Did Jesus ever bring anyone back from the dead? He did, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Not often.
He healed the sick. I think he brought back maybe one person.
I was going to say, one time. And then it was like in an anime. He's like, it's going to take all of my power. And then, you know, afterwards he's almost dead because it took up all his abilities.
He gave some life.
You know, that's why he only did it that one time. And then, of course, the only other time he did it was when he died and then came back to life.
Yeah. St. Patrick's like, bro, for me, it's like a light switch. Dead, alive, dead, alive. There's a cow like animating and dying in front of him nonstop. In some versions of this story, after the bull is revived, Crom is so impressed that he converts on the spot to Christianity.
You would.
In other versions, he's killed by the bull. Which I'm starting to think is the real story. St. Patrick told everyone he was converted.
St. Patrick only raised the bull. That is so twisted. That is so twisted. So he didn't raise the bull back from the dead because the man was angry. He raised it because he wanted to kill the man.
St. Patrick raises the bull and the chieftain's like, my God, you brought back my prize bull. And St. Patrick goes to the bull, get him. This is just one instance of St. Patrick displaying his otherworldly powers allegedly gifted to him by the Lord. There was another legend written in 700 AD, claimed that again while working in Ireland, a gang of druids insulted St. Patrick and even at one point tried to poison him. Now, the saint was willing to let a lot of this slide, but when one of those druids started talking shit about the Lord, St. Patrick flipped out. According to the legend, using his magic, the druid was lifted up into the air and slammed down. His brain hit against a stone and it exploded. And he died in front of all the other pagans.
He's Darth Vader. He's Darth Vader. He goes, what did you say? The guy's like, please, my lord.
It's only kind of crazy because I don't understand how this message is supposed to work, where it's like, hey, come to Christianity, the all-loving, peaceful forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like, I don't believe in any of this shit.
What did you say, mortal?
It's like, all right, well, clearly he isn't all forgiving because I did one bad thing and you're choking me.
I mean, is this part of the transformation of kind of the message of Christianity, though? Because, I mean, you tell me, because we know that the Old Testament of Christianity, it's fire, it's brimstone. It's a lot more supernatural. It's a lot stranger. We then know that the New Testament, the more recent one, the later teachings, that was when all the John Lennon shit,
peace and love, baby,
happiness, kind of all kicked in.
That's a good point.
So is this part of that kind of transition of like from being this kind of like spreading his message or spreading the word or good acts through sometimes even violence, sometimes even aggression? Is that kind of the old world that St. Patrick was still a part of?
Right.
And that it was only later that we got into like everything was turn the other cheek and forgiveness.
Yeah, maybe at this point that was the way to get through to these people was fire and brimstone and punishment.
I don't know.
It is funny because from this story it sounds like St. Patrick is just one of those guys who can't take a joke. You know those guys you're like hanging out with and you're like, oh, you know, showing up late per usual. Yeah, this guy's never on time. He's like, oh, I wonder if he's going to buy his own drinks tonight. He always skips out on a round or something. And then, you know, someone will be like, oh, St. Patrick's, oh, there's a cow in that field. I didn't know your mum was here today with you. And he goes, shut your f***ing mouth.
I'm like, hey, but hey, like, dude, we're just having a laugh.
That's my mother you're talking about.
All right, dude. All right, sorry. Just chill, bro. We're all trying to have a good time here. Can I get you a drink?
He's like head down, panting. laughing like the Joker. Is it funny to you that my mother is a cow?
He breaks a glass bottle, swings for the guy. Whoa!
He turns your mother into a cow, kills her, brings her back, kills her, brings her back. Stop, St. Patrick! In other stories, apparently sometimes when St. Patrick really wanted to win an argument or simply shut his opponents down, he would raise people from the dead and have them prove his point.
What would you mean, debate on his behalf? There's a zombie just like, so, as you can see, I'm very much alive now, so, you know, if you could just admit he's right and I can go back to being dead, please.
Right. What a horrible experience to be brought back to life to prove a point in an argument.
Yeah, you're like, oh, am I in heaven? Not really.
Yeah, can you tell him that the Lakers lost in 1948? If people didn't believe in Christianity, St. Patrick would bring back atheists to life and get them to describe the torture of being able to see heaven but not get in.
This is... okay. Okay. Okay.
In one story, he also brought a guy back to life just to prove that the accusations of him being a thief were untrue.
This isn't even part of his mission. This isn't even... like, what is this... what point of the church is this furthering at this point? Like, you're just... as I said, you're just settling petty squabbles.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're in an argument and St. Patrick is like, I'm not a thief, I'm a really cool guy. Ask my buddy Craig. Craig, And like Craig just bursts out of the ground in skeleton form and it's like, Craig, tell him I'm a cool guy.
Like, ah, oh, crap, his vocal cords have decomposed. All right.
Craig's just looking at his skeleton hands. What sinful deed has brought me back to the realm of the living? Craig, can you just tell him for a second that, like, I'm a cool guy? And it's like, the sins committed today will be known throughout history as work of the Dark Lord. Craig, just keep on track, man, because I can only keep you up here for like 45 seconds. Where are my children? Craig, we don't have time for your children. My wife. Back in the ground.
Yeah, cuts his head off again. Oh, he's gone. I don't know that this is the best use of his abilities, you know, because at least, you know, Jesus performed miracles compared to St. Patrick. By all accounts, Jesus's miracles were more tasteful, more considered, more, you know, he really only did it when he absolutely had to. Jesus was kind of like trying to convince people to join a church. And I'd be like, please, come on, bro, just join the church. And they're like, no, I don't believe you. And he's like,
oh,
he's
fine.
Like, he's like, come on, bro. He's like, don't make me do all that. Don't make me do all that. And they're like, no, you got to prove it. And he's like, all right, fine. You got a loaf of bread? Pfft, two loaves of bread.
Right, yeah.
And then they're like, oh, shit. He's like, are we done? Are we done? I have places to be. Let's go.
Jesus is like, don't make me turn any more water into wine. All I have is wine now. I'm so dehydrated. I don't have a drop in this house because every time one of you assholes comes around, I gotta turn all my water into wine for you.
You know, if he had the mindset of St. Patrick, he would have just like walked up to the Roman emperor, just cut off everybody's head with laser beams. You know, he would have just been messing shit up day one.
Yeah, maybe that is why St. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland, because he did quite a few miracles for the crack.
Right.
Which is very Irish indeed.
Yes, right. That in Ireland, you know, it is a very Christian country historically, and a very kind of, there's a certain high sense of morals, and there's a lot of things that are really important to Irish people. But above all that, first and foremost, is crack.
Is the crack.
Yeah. It's like, you know, for sure, salvation and following the word of the Lord, but not before a few scoops down the local.
Now, locals had heard that St. Patrick was raising the dead. So as a prank, some of the locals asked St. Patrick to raise one of their friends who was still alive from the dead. I guess as a way to try and catch him out or something. St. Patrick, who knew that they were trying to pull a fast one on him, prayed for the man and he actually died.
We could have seen that coming. We could have seen that coming.
Only after his friends begged for mercy and agreed to be baptized did St. Patrick bring him back to life.
That is no way to bring people into the church.
You are one step away from just holding a gun to someone's head and ordering their family to be baptized, or you'll pull the trigger.
That's what he did. It's literally walking. Yeah, it's the Joker walking up to people in Times Square with a machine gun pointed at their head, and he's like, write a check to a charity right now. You know, like,
yeah.
Such a strange form of altruism.
Yeah. Like, I'm about to pull the trigger, and it can either go one or two ways. Either you go somewhere where you die, or you don't. What's it gonna be, bud? In another story, St. Patrick and his followers allegedly came across a Neolithic tomb that they thought to be the grave of a giant. To satisfy his followers' curiosity, St. Patrick raised the giant from the dead, baptized him, and killed him again.
Why? he's like, he raised him from the dead. He's like, hey, giant, you're a cool dude, bro. Hey, nice to meet you. Hey, you know who's going to love you? Who? Jesus. Kills him with a laser beam, sends him to heaven instantly.
He's like, wow, this creation truly is great. God's going to want to see him again.
No.
No, I'm just a tall guy. This is what I'm saying here on this podcast. We all love St. Patrick's Day. We all love Ireland and drinking Guinness and wearing green. But the actual St. Patrick himself was so much of a wizard criminal, we might as well be celebrating the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Right.
Now we are going to hear even more about the dark side of St. Patrick's Day right after a quick word from today's sponsors.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, of course, the one redeeming quality about St. Patrick is his most famous accomplishment as a saint, driving all of the snakes out of Ireland.
Of course, the classic. Because if anyone doesn't know, if they live around the world, this is a sort of random fact of biology here, is that there are no snakes on the island of Ireland. There are in England. There are in the rest of the UK.
Exactly. So a little bit of a mystery. It all got rolled up with St. Patrick. Unfortunately, according to almost every historian and biologist in the world, this never happened at all. For example, according to Nigel Monaghan from the National Museum of Dublin, he said, at no time has there ever been any suggestion of a snake in Ireland. Mm-hmm. There was nothing for St. Patrick to ever banish. I think a lot of scientists who have studied Ireland and its history, even going back to like prehistoric, you know, we're talking about fossils, there was really never any evidence of snakes being on the island.
I remember being a kid, and this loomed large in my mind. We've talked about it before, you know, whenever you're a kid, you get told a piece of information that you take way too seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Like a classic piece of information being like whenever you first find out that the sun is going to explode someday as like a toddler, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
What? And then you cry for 3 days until you realize that that's fine. And, you know, or you find out about quicksand and it just occupies your brain for weeks to come. I remember the first time I ever went to England as a child, all I knew was they had snakes.
Really? That was the only thing?
So my parents were like, yeah, we're going to go see your uncle and your auntie. We're probably going to go like, I don't know, we'll go to the beach or something. It'll be fun. And in my head, I was walking into Jumanji.
I was in Belfast International Airport with a hat and a whip and a satchel getting ready for an adventure.
I was like packing nets. I thought I was going to like hunt these things, fight them. I was like, no, why would we leave? It's safer. There's no snakes.
You're sitting on the flight opposite your mother being like, after the moment of incision from a snake bite, we have about 45 seconds to suck out the poison. She's like, uh-huh, yeah, that's very cute. Is that from one of your little cartoons?
I'm literally not. I think we got to our accommodation and I think we're staying at my uncle's or whatever, but they had a garden and I was literally just like, we turned the key in the property, went in. I set down our bags. I walked straight to the back garden. I'm combing through the grass. Combing.
Well, don't comb through the grass. That's where you're going to find them.
Desperately try to find one. I was so disappointed I couldn't find one.
Kid at one point while getting ready for bed stepped on the charging cable for an iPad and squealed like a piglet, thinking a snake was coming up his trouser legs.
My mum made a plate of spaghetti and I upturned the whole table.
You are right, though. It is true because, weirdly, St. Patrick driving the snakes from Ireland is a story we hear as a kid alongside the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy,
yep,
Santa Claus. Then eventually you find out all of those things aren't real. And then you get to a point where you're like, oh, I guess so St. Patrick isn't real either? And your parents are like, no, he's real. He's a real dude. He's a proper person from history.
It's the one that is real.
So there's a bit of, murkiness to the legends. Of course, when talking about St. Patrick driving out the snakes, most people believe this legend is actually a metaphor for his crusade to drive out the pagans and druids from Ireland and convert everyone to Christianity.
Right.
Kind of mean when you think about it.
It's a metaphor. Yeah, I think...
It's like, oh, what did St. Patrick get rid of in Ireland? The snakes, the weasels, the rats. And you're like, okay, well, a lot of those creatures are still here.
Did I mention traitors? Yeah.
The cowards, the bitches. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I did kind of come into this kind of smiling while drinking my glass of Guinness. And now I'm... kind of realizing he was a monster and actually probably destroyed a lot of the ancient culture of the island.
Yeah, like Christianity did in a lot of places, unfortunately. But even though the whole snake thing wasn't maybe exactly true, there was an encounter that St. Patrick did have with animals, and that was when he decided to spend 40 days on the mountaintop of the Reek. Now, this was to try and imitate what Moses did in the Bible,
of course,
which I assume was trying to imitate what Jesus did in the desert.
Okay, I'm assuming this mountain we're talking about is Croke Patrick.
Yes.
Okay.
Named that after the events that we're talking about today.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think there's now actually a church at the top called like the St. Patrick Church or something.
Yeah, annoyingly, I've never done this one actually. Have
Looks
you done it?
So cool. I haven't. I've done a ton. All of my mountainous explorations in Ireland has unfortunately been in the north. I have explored all of the Mourne Mountains. Big Binion, Little Binion, Slieve Donard. Conquered them all.
Yeah, it's in County Mayo, so it's unbelievably close to where my mum is from. So I've been to it many times. She's climbed it a bunch of times. I've never done it. I think every time I've gone to do it as a kid, it was like really heavy rain. It wouldn't have been safe, but it looks
right.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think I've talked about it on this podcast before the time that I almost died climbing an Irish mountain when the mist rolled in. And it got so cold that I was stuck up there and I didn't have the strength to crush a grape in my hand.
Why did you have grapes?
Because that's just, I don't know why.
It was just a snack you packed?
I don't know why. Whenever anyone goes hiking, maybe this is a UK thing or like an Irish thing. Whenever people go hiking, all of your normal logic and sense goes out the window and you almost enter a trance-like state of preparation.
Right.
Like, the things I like to eat in my everyday life are not the things I bring up the mountain.
Right.
For some reason, as soon as I decide I'm going to go on a hike, my backpack is filled with a single orange.
Yeah, yeah.
A dry biscuit with no cheese or butter. Like, an apple slices and cling film. Shit, you would never eat ever.
You're basically packing a toddler's lunch to go to nursery. Like, it's a juice box. Raisins. It's like, I'm a grown man. I need like a Subway sandwich.
Why did I not think I'd want a Monster Energy drink up the mountain?
Yeah, I'm still going to be tired.
It's very strange.
It is true.
So I had grapes.
They talk about, you know, the trend of wearing outdoor gear all the time is called GORP clothing.
I didn't know
which,
that.
If you're curious, stands for good old raisins and peanuts. So that's how much hiking is about eating raisins.
There's no way that's what it's called. Good old raisins and peanuts.
I don't make the rules. But getting back to Croke Patrick, but
yeah,
it's this mountain is so part of St. Patrick's story that it is now a pilgrimage, right, to climb the mountain.
Yes, there is a church up there you can go visit. The mountain is named after him. This is what I'm saying. All of these stories, they're kind of different levels of being folklore that people don't believe and shit that people swear to this day happened and mountains are named after them and churches are named after them.
Yeah. I think you might be supposed to climb it barefoot.
Really? Is it a big hike?
Yep.
Damn. We should do it.
Yeah, the barefoot pilgrimage of St. Patrick.
What?
Pretty badass, man.
Should we do this?
Yeah.
Go full on hobbit mode next time we're down south.
Get the hairy feet on. Yeah. You know how good a pint of Guinness is going to taste on top of a mountain feet out?
I don't think there's Guinness at the top. I think it's a church, a very small little church.
Well, we just learned that you don't know how to pack for a hike and
That's
that much
true.
Is clear. So we got to bring the Guinness.
Do you know how good a Capri Sun is going to taste at the top of that mountain?
A Dairy Lee Lunchable.
And a Baby Bell. Shit, you never eat anywhere else?
Tiny cheese. I never eat cheese.
Unfortunately, while St. Patrick was up there at the top of the mountain, he was attacked by so many birds.
Whoa.
That he had to banish them to hell.
Oh, come on, not. Just wave them away. You don't need to kill everything. You don't need to banish everything to hell.
He's such an itchy trigger finger.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, though? Because that's often a like fun general question of Christianity is do animals go to heaven or hell?
Yeah.
We've heard it from the man himself.
Hold on now. Yeah, look, he banished them to hell.
Yeah.
Is how I worded it. In the actual story, it's a little more complicated than that.
Uh-oh.
He rang a bell and banished them to the Hollow of Lugnademon, which is the Hollow of Demons.
Wow.
I don't know what that necessarily means, but essentially banishing a demon to a demon world sounds like they're going to hell.
I think he just said, Jesus, go to hell. I think he just said, go to hell. And then they were like, oh, he banished them.
He banished them. Yes. Maybe he was like, piss off, you wee f***ers.
Yeah.
And rang his bell and they all flew away. And someone was like, my God.
He did it again.
Master of man and beast. I also didn't want to say this, Kit, for your sake. But in some variations of this story, he was actually also attacked by a demonic female serpent named Cora.
Oh, no!
Yikes.
What have I done? My daughter is named Cora.
Yeah. Which is a beautiful Irish name.
See, that's honestly pretty... I need to write that down, because that's actually... Whenever we were trying to, pick a name, it seems like the name was more from Scotland, and then it's only famous because of Titanic and Downton Abbey.
Right. Well, there you go. Now you got a third one.
Now we got a... yeah.
A snake
awkward
beast.
One. Yeah,
that's cool.
Demonic snake. Okay.
Because when you were picking names, you were like, do we want to go for, like, Lucifer?
Right, Medusa.
Medusa. Yeah. Asmaltor, the fire goddess. Or Cora, the snake woman. And you went for Cora, which I think is a beautiful choice.
You know, it's not good whenever you search your daughter's name into Google and then this comes up. You can zoom in on.
It's a snake demon. It is the head and body of a snake beast.
That's not my little girl. That's crazy.
I love that your biggest fear came true. The snakes have made it to Ireland and it's your own daughter.
Bro, life is too deep, bro. This is crazy.
She's lapping up baby food with her little snake tongue.
I'm like, cute but weird.
But I get it, Kit. You and the audience are probably wondering at this point, if all of St. Patrick's stories are about wizard duels and raising people from the dead, why did he become associated with drinking and celebrating? Well, there's a few reasons why, but one of them comes from another story from his journeys across Ireland, one that also has a paranormal side to it. During his mission in Ireland, St. Patrick stumbled into a small inn to get some food and drink for the evening.
Hello there! I'll have a whiskey and a stew if you don't mind.
The innkeeper poured his drink and prepared his food, but when she slipped it across the table, St. Patrick was stunned. His whiskey glass was barely full. His stew was no more than a mouthful. He went around every patron of the bar and they had all been served the same measly helpings. Furious at the shopkeeper's greed, St. Patrick flipped out, telling the shopkeeper that there is a demon in the cellar feeding off of her dishonesty and greed, and the only way she'll ever kill it is by mending her ways. So sometime later, St. Patrick was in the area and decided to revisit the same inn. Once inside, he immediately noticed happy patrons with whiskey cups filled to the brim. He found the innkeeper and praised her generosity, and the innkeeper was overjoyed.
Oh, St. Patrick, I never would have changed if it wasn't for you. Your metaphor about the demon in the cellar really spoke to me.
St. Patrick was confused.
Metaphor?
That thing's real. That thing's down there.
He tastes the stew. Oh, God. Taste of demon piss. You need to sort this out, lady.
He brought her down to the cellar, and in the corner, there was a starving little demon shriveling away in the corner.
Oh, no.
I just love that idea. Oh, it's like, that was actually, that analogy really resonated with me about we all have a demon inside. Yeah. You didn't kill the demon?
Sweetie, no, you misunderstood.
This story in particular is one that inspires the St. Patrick that we think about today. One that promotes generosity, full whiskey cups, and battling our basement demons.
Interesting. Well, I'm very glad they did clarify, because I was about to say, what the f*** is going on? A demon of greed? That's a weird story, man.
It is a really weird story. Because even when I was reading it, I was like, oh, it's a metaphor like we all have two wolves inside of us. you know, love and hate. And the wolf that lives is the one that you feed. Wow. You know, beautiful.
Yeah.
You know? And St. Patrick's like, there's a demon in the basement. Yeah. You're like, preach, brother, preach. You're like, no, we need to leave now.
He's in the lock-in freezer. I can hear him banging on the lock-in freezer. I really actually feel seen by St. Patrick's strong opinions on this subject matter, because right. I just feel like it's going to go better for him, though, in that situation than when I go to a hipster restaurant and they serve me a tiny portion.
Oh, yeah.
That if I went up to the chef, was like, brother, there is a demon of greed feeding on your soul.
Yeah.
Why would you give me this tiny slice of avocado toast for £10?
I told you, I've had to stop going to a number of coffee shops here in London because of the serving sizes.
Yes, you are American, though, as we've established. So you kind of don't recognize anything smaller than a big gulp of coffee.
Yeah, that is true. But also, if I'm paying $6.50 for a coffee, sure. I expect it to be more liquid than would fill a f-ing thimble.
Right.
I'm not one of the borrowers. Yes. I need more liquid than that in the morning.
Liquid doesn't piss me off, because I get that with coffee, there's like an optimum ratio of these things. It's food. Food kills me. Maybe that is an Irish thing. Maybe that's built into our DNA a little bit, like we're seeing in the story of we get spiritually pissed off if someone gives us too little food.
I ordered a bagel that came with a small amount of cream cheese, and I stormed up to the front desk and said, brother, there's a demon among us, and unless he gets his cream cheese, he's gonna go loco.
He's gonna steal a lot of napkins. He mentions the whiskey cup. I don't know if everyone knows this, if they're listening from England. Whiskey cups do be running over in Ireland compared to England. Because in England, maybe Scotland, I don't remember, a whiskey serving or a spirit serving is 25 milliliter. In Ireland, it is, at least where we're from, it's 35.
Yeah. A little bit more. So those cups are
a lot of
toppling over. They really are. But this is just one story. I mean, there's so many reasons why this insane druid battling wizard has essentially been transformed into the St. Patrick we know today. And St. Patrick's Day has turned into the celebration that we know today. Part of that is, of course, Irish immigration to America. Some of the biggest and first big St. Patrick's Day celebrations were actually in America before they were in Ireland.
Wow.
And it's strange just to read about the progression of this holiday, because I believe at the start we were commemorating St. Patrick's death, the day he died.
Mm.
And part of that was fasting, abstaining from alcohol.
Yeah, it was like it would be a religious holiday.
Yeah, but then as it kind of got rolled in with Lent and like all of these other holidays, it then became actually more of a day to celebrate, to rejoice, to indulge, to have fun. Much like St. Patrick himself did with his wizard abilities. Look, obviously, St. Patrick was a pretty cool, crazy guy. I'm only covering all the most insane stories that we have regarding his adventures in Ireland. But of course, what most people know him for, and the church knows him for, is his work bringing Christianity all across Ireland, baptizing people. There's some stuff kind of in the middle that is both not claimed by the paranormal investigators or the church, where I think he got arrested, had to announce publicly that he'd never accepted any gifts from wealthy women. There's a lot of weird stuff where it's like, I think apparently people thought he was very corrupt and taking bribes, and all he hung out with was like rich people. And
that's the most Irish shit I've ever heard. Come on, what are we doing here? We can't knock the guy for that.
I know that there's CCTV footage of me outside the Bellagio, but I want to say I was there to baptize a pretty hefty gambler who needed redemption.
I guess the last thing I'll say on him is, it's really interesting how, like, you have to remember, for how famous this guy is, it's actually a direct product of what he came to Ireland to do. He came to Ireland to, as you say, drive out paganism, bring Christianity in. And this is a thing. In countries where Christianity has been brought, if that country had a big history of paganism or similar beliefs, or, you know, worshipping multiple gods, those are the countries where the Christianity is big into saints, big into worshipping saints, because the people at the time, they understood that. They were like, hey, we can get behind all these f-ing Pokemon characters of, like, you know, St. Patrick, St. whatever, and they all have different abilities. Like, you know, St. Patrick, he raised people from the dead and he killed this bull and he did this and did that, compared to other countries where, like, I mean, take America, for example, where Christianity is massive, it's dominant. People don't really care about saints. It's just really about Jesus and the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, the old stories. Yeah, I do get that. It's kind of like, it's a way to kind of connect with the locals and their beliefs a little bit more, as a way to kind of step their way slowly into Christianity.
Which I think just explains maybe a little bit of why St. Patrick had paranormal abilities. Because guess what? The gods that came before him in paganism had paranormal abilities.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some stories, whether they're true or not, if they're being told by pagans, they might be exaggerated. But yeah, there are stories of St. Patrick getting to the island and the people living there, the druids, are like throwing children onto rocks and sacrificing people and doing, you know, all this kind of occult stuff.
Sounds pretty badass, to be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, to say the least. But yeah, it's a very strange part of history to examine. Also, a fun little bit of trivia fact for you. St. Patrick himself was never actually canonized as a saint by the church.
What?
Because that process was not a part of the church until, you know, I think hundreds of years after his life.
Okay.
So for some reason, I thought you would have been able to do it in post.
You definitely can after someone's dead nowadays, but maybe then, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I need to look that
up. I think they still do acknowledge that he is an official saint of the church, but yeah, never officially canonized.
Okay, he was maybe just grandfathered in because he was already such an OG.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. They were like, we don't want to piss him off because we think he can come back as well and turn us into snakes and drive us off. So let's stay on his good side.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, by officially canonizing a saint, it's like admitting they weren't a saint until just now. He's like, motherfucker, I was born a saint. I was, don't even offend me by making me a saint.
I'm not a saint. I sucked that dude's nipples. I did what it took. You saying that was for nothing? Look, with all this new knowledge in mind, Kit, are you still going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Brother, I'm feeling a bit confused about the whole thing, and I don't really know who to support. But I think in the spirit of that, it has become, he's become an emblem of the island, and in the sense of the modern celebration, absolutely. What about you?
100%. I love St. Patrick's Day. It's a day I hold very close to my heart, and even these crazy wild stories aren't going to change the fact that St. Patrick's Day to me is about celebrating our Irish heritage, enjoying time with friends, being merry, having a few drinks, and kicking back and just appreciating life. Because you never know when it's going to end, then maybe restart, then end again and restart.
But Rory, this is an episode of This Paranormal Life. Are you squirreling out of coming down on a conclusion?
You know, I hadn't even thought about the fact we have to come down on a conclusion. Hey, you know what? Actually, I'll be able to come down on one very easily. Do I think that St. Patrick himself actually did a lot of these miracles, brought people back to life, shot fireballs out of his hands? Mm. No, I don't think so. I think the fact that when you research St. Patrick, there are so many different accounts that they're always ever changing, and there's so many contradicting opinions, that alone is probably a good idea that a lot of this stuff is fictitious. Or it's folklore, it's myth, it's legend, passed down, exaggerated, changed. I don't think any of the stories that we covered here today have enough evidence to prove that they ever really took place.
You're going to hell. You're going to hell for that.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
Banished to the halls of Mordor, what do they say? That's what's happening to you, bro. We have saints today. There's modern saints. Saints don't have to be paranormal. So I think he's obviously very important to the church.
Unfortunately, even today on St. Patrick's Day, it is a double no. Absolutely gutted. But hey, I will be saying yes to a dozen Guinnesses. and maybe a couple of little drinks of Powers Irish Whiskey.
This is not brought to you by Powers Irish Whiskey.
It isn't. I wish it was.
You're not even affiliated with Powers Irish Whiskey.
Yeah, which is a shame because it is actually my family and my lineage, but they kind of cut me out of it, which is... It's fine, you know. I don't take it personally or anything. But
yeah, well, it was deserved because you showed yourself to be an irresponsible heir to the fortune, so you were cut out.
Just because I mixed Diet Coke with our oldest cask of whiskey in the distillery doesn't mean I'm irresponsible. They had a 150-year-old whiskey barrel. And I poured in 7 liters of 7-Up.
Diet Dr. Pepper into the original cask.
Because I had one sip and I was like, oh, that's a little strong for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw in a bucket of limes. But hey, however you'd like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with your friends, with your family, listening to some Irish music, enjoying some Irish films, or just chilling out, taking the day off.
And we are recording this early in the year, but hopefully... At the time of writing, Ireland have won the Six Nations Rugby Cup, so...
Fingers crossed.
Absolutely not happening, but we'll see.
Last St. Patrick's Day, Ireland were playing in the Six Nations Rugby, and I went to the Irish London Cultural Centre to watch the game. It's a real place, it exists. And we won it on St. Patrick's Day at this centre. And that was the last time I lost my voice.
It is hard being an Irish sports fan, except for rugby.
Except for rugby. We're weirdly good at rugby.
We're really good at rugby.
It turns out. So, hey, we're going to have a fantastic St. Patrick's Day. I hope you guys do too. If you enjoyed this week's episode and you want to support the podcast and you're two little Irish peasants, these two.
All right. Well, let's not reinforce stereotypes. We're fine.
Toss a coin in the flat cap of your paranormal Irish pals. You know, please, sir, give us a crumb.
No. And Rory, haven't you heard we've been subjugated by people? No, so we're going to stand up loud and proud and shoot laser beams out of our f***ing eyes.
Well, don't threaten
and
them.
And kill bulls and say, sure, please join Patreon.
Yeah, because we need people to, that's how this show gets made. If we didn't have Patreon, okay, we wouldn't be able to make it. So don't threaten them.
Guys, is there a demon of greed in your basement? Because you might want to think about that.
Think about that. Giving away your fortunes actually diminishes the demon's strength.
Mm.
And if you don't have the money to give yourself, maybe I'll bring back your dead grandmother and see if she's got a couple coins lying around. If you do support us on Patreon, one of the rewards that we have for you is a shout out at the end of the podcast. So let's do some right now.
Why not?
Let's start with an absolute perfect shout out for today's podcast. Big thank you to Aoife Maria O'Sullivan.
Oh my goodness, Aoife Maria O'Sullivan.
Sure, come get your little ass in here and grab a pint.
Aoife's from Barbados. She's, yeah.
Now I see that.
Her parents, they left a couple generations ago, but she's never been to Ireland. There was nothing about it.
Barbados.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really culturally just, it's pretty.
Do you like a pint though, Aoife?
No.
She doesn't drink.
She likes rum.
Oh, rum. Yeah. Okay.
Because they're more into rum there.
Get your ass in here and have a sweat. I'm going a little piratey now, you see, because that still kind of crosses over.
So still thanks though.
Still thanks.
Yeah.
Hope you're having a great St. Patrick's Day in Barbados. Thank you also to Alf Francis.
Alf Francis is a little bit like Pope Francis. Alf does canonize their own saints.
Oh, that's cool.
But they're not kind of canonized for doing good deeds or spreading the word. It's more for like
good things though, right? Like,
nah, it's more for like, you know, if they did a sick piece of graffiti.
Oh.
It's kind of like street saints. If they beat up 12 dudes at once in a street fight, you get canonized.
I think that's actually one of St. Patrick's stories.
So sorry.
So
the crossover is there. I'm actually personally would love to be an Alf saint.
Yeah, canonize us, please, Alf. Thank you also to Allison Alien Glasses Williams. I remember Allison telling me the story about when she got these alien glasses. You know, it was a regular kind of encounter. She was beamed up on board the craft. examined. There might have been a little bit of probing going on there.
Whoa.
And then Allison was like, whoa, and I get to keep these alien glasses? Imagine what kind of fucked up shit you can see with alien glasses. Mm. You can probably see the seventh dimension. You can see through buildings and time and space.
Yeah, man.
She kind of put them on and it was like, it just fixed her vision a little bit.
They had the same prescription?
Yeah, the aliens just couldn't see it. They were farsighted, so it was kind of hard to read.
But the likelihood that it would be the same prescription is insane.
It was a little off. It was a little off. One eye was a little blurry.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes more sense.
But they really weren't. They didn't do much. They didn't have like laser vision or anything.
I guess they have similar eyes to us.
the eyes are pretty much unchanged. So, Allison, I hope at the very least they gave you the gift of being able to read in the dark. Thank you also to CF. I love this. A patron of This Paranormal Life who's smart enough to not reveal any of his personal information.
Because we sell everything to big data.
No, we don't. We don't sell it.
Palantir, big data companies.
That would be illegal if we sold any of your information.
I don't think it would.
I'm just saying.
They signed a disclaimer.
I'm just saying it's like, it's cool. Like, that's what we do. It's classified information. That's my name, motherfucker.
Yeah, don't do that, everyone, because then we'd be out of business because we make so much cash off of selling your personal information.
No, we don't. We don't sell any personal information. I wouldn't be able to say legally.
For the MIBs, too, to be quite honest.
We guys sell your information so they don't come for us. It's a sweet little deal we have.
We're a rat. We are a rat.
So thank you to CF, Colin Farrell, for submitting that little Patreon donation. And thank you, finally, today, to Gabriela Gonzalez.
Gabriela's going to hella.
What did she do?
She attacked a guy on a mountain. She kind of took a swing at him, and unfortunately, wrong mountain, wrong time.
It was St. Patrick?
Yeah.
Okay. So
he just pulled it. It's pretty unfortunate because, you know, she normally makes a living kind of mugging people on a mountain. They don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy pickings. This guy had a bell.
Oh, boy.
Pulls out the bell. Next thing you know, Shadow Realm, the
whole
thing.
Next thing you know, 1,000 crows are coming for you. You're so barefoot, too, because we all know what mountain it was.
Yeah.
Gabriela, I'm sorry. I hope you get out of the demon dimension sometime soon and can join us here on Earth for St. Patrick's Day. Thank you so much to everyone that supports us on Patreon. There's a ton of really cool rewards over there. So if you enjoy the show, check it out. And you can get your very own shout out at the end of the podcast.
Hell yeah.
Kit, it's time to hit the pubs, brother.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, it was great that they have this now, because I've been off the sauce since the start of the year, but I'm still getting to enjoy my Guinness. This episode is not brought to you by Guinness Zero, but it means I can hit the pub.
It is. I'm going to try and split the G a couple times today, I'm thinking.
The only G you're splitting is whenever you share a giant bucket of KFC with Colin at the weekend. You couldn't split a G to save your life. All right, this has been This Paranormal Life.
How dare you? So unnecessary.
I can't split the G. I've never done it. All right.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of This Paranormal Life. Remember, everyone, to live fast, investigate, and
die young, baby!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.